In Jesus' most agonizing moments before his crucifixion, he commanded Peter, James, and John to watch and pray. Jesus then went on to moments of fervent prayer in the garden. Unfortunately, those disciples failed in their assignment, and Jesus found them sleeping instead of praying. In this study, evangelist Scott Pauley will lead us and challenge us to watch and pray, to pray faith-filled prayer for God to move and work in our generation. Be sure to listen after the study for details about a special prayer resource Scott is making available through this series. And now, let's join Scott Pauley.
Recently, I had to get some new glasses because my eyes have changed. It's one of the signs of old age, I think. And Solomon said, those that look out the windows be darkened. So I'm starting to understand that a little more. I'm learning that whatever lens you look through really matters. We need magnification and we need clarity. And the lens of Scripture is really what helps us to keep our eyes on the Lord. It's the lens through which the eye of faith gazes. So if you're going to watch and pray, these watch and pray passages are helping us to correct our vision just a little bit, to see where we need to fix our attention. We're returning today to Luke chapter number 12. Now, in our last study, I showed you that Luke 12 and Luke 21 are connected by the very personal word, yourselves. Two watch and pray passages, one dealing with the world that is and the other dealing with the world that is to come, but both of them making it personal to us and specifically to the way we look at all things. Let's begin today with our attitude toward the Lord. Because, friend, I'm going to tell you, your attitude toward the Lord is going to affect your attitude toward everything else and every other person. That's really the emphasis of Luke chapter number 12. We'll read the entire passage beginning in verse 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding. Notice, not if, but when. It's not a question of, is the Lord coming? Yes, he's coming. It's just a matter of when. We don't know. The Bible says, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. What a beautiful verse Luke chapter 12, verse number 37 is. I believe it's a picture of Revelation 19:9, the great supper, the great meal we're going to with our Lord someday, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I think one of the most awe-inspiring things in this passage is that the master serves the servants. Think of the day that we finally get to sit down at our Lord's table. Friend, nobody spreads a table like Jesus spreads a table. And as surely as he washed the feet of his first disciples and broke the bread and passed the cup, the Bible says someday we'll sit down at his table and he will serve us. Oh, what a day that will be. We continue, verse 38. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Do you see the word blessed in verse 37, and again the word blessed in verse 38? Oh, the blessed person is the person living in anticipation of the soon return of Jesus. The blessed person is the person who's watching for our Lord's return. And this know, verse 39, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. He really tells two stories, not one. In the first, he is the master returning to the servants. In the second, he is the thief who's coming in the middle of the night. The first refers to who's coming. The master's coming back. The second story tells us when he's coming. He's coming when you least expect him, like a thief in the middle of the night. But in both of them, the emphasis is this: our Lord is coming back. What should be our attitude towards the Lord in light of his return? Well, let me give you four things today. Number one, we should be looking. That's the first thing you notice, the emphasis on watchfulness. We should be looking. You know, there's a reason why it says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning and the servants waiting on the return of the master from the wedding, because most Jewish weddings were held at night. And so here is the picture of the bridegroom returning with the bride, and the servants don't go to bed. No, no, they keep their serving clothes on, and they keep the candles lit and the door open, and they are dressed and ready for the return of the master. I wonder, are you looking for our Lord's return today? And then, not only are we supposed to be an attitude of looking, but we're also to be loving. Verse number 37 puts it in the context of intimate fellowship, sitting down at the table together. Friends, I'm not just looking for an event. I'm loving His return because I'm excited about the fellowship that I'm going to have with Him for all eternity. You see, you only really get excited about the return of somebody that you truly love. Do you love Jesus? Are you excited about seeing Him at any moment? There's a beautiful parallel to this, Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. So there's a great order there. First, we serve at the table, and then He serves at the table. He sups with us, and then we sup with Him. Right now, we're serving the Lord, and we're loving the Lord here, but very shortly we will go to sit at His table and to be enjoying all the things He's prepared and to be living in His perfect love for eternity. We got a lot to look forward to. This ought to help your attitude today. Get your eyes on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. If you're fixated on your problems today, if you're stuck on what's going on around you and what you're watching on the news, it's because you're not properly keeping your attitude and your eyes on the Lord. We're to be looking, we're to be loving, and then we're to be living. In verse number 39 and verse number 40, there is vigilance and there is soberness and there is readiness. It ought to affect the way you live your life every day. So you're living ready. You're living prepared for whatever time the Lord may return. They asked Mr. Wesley, if you knew the Lord was coming tomorrow evening, what would you do tomorrow? He said, I would do exactly what's in my calendar to do, because as far as I know, I'm doing what God wants. They asked Mr. Luther, if you knew the Lord was going to come, what would you do? He said, I'd still plant my apple tree today. And they said, well, that's kind of strange. He said, no, as far as I know, I've left nothing undone. Can you say that? We say we're looking for the Lord. We say we're loving the Lord. But are we living like it? Has it sufficiently affected the way you live your life? See, your attitude affects your actions. Your belief affects your behavior. If you really believe Jesus is coming at any moment, then we should live like it. And then finally, not only looking and loving and living, but laboring. Because the context of the whole passage is that it's a word for servants and a word for stewards. In fact, if you read on in the passage in Luke chapter 12, Peter asked him a question and said, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? And Jesus turned around and told another story. same emphasis, but another story about a steward doing the right thing with what had been entrusted to him and other stewards that didn't do the right thing with what had been entrusted to them. This is the famous passage where he says, to whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Same passage. What is Jesus saying? We're not just supposed to be looking and loving and living. We're supposed to be laboring. What has God put in your hand today? What has God assigned you to do? Maybe you don't think it's a big thing, but friend, it's big if God gave it to you. What is the assignment of the Master in your life? Then do that today. And do it with all your heart. And do it with a conscious awareness any moment you may meet Jesus. What would you do today if you knew Jesus was coming this evening? Then do that. And live today with the right attitude toward the Lord. Watch and pray.
Are you guilty of the sin of prayerlessness? Do you know the mechanics of prayer, the form, the right words, but struggle to pray, to have a consistent prayer life? Scott would like to provide a resource for you that he believes can help create habits of prayer in your life. His resource, 30 Days of Prayer, is available for download on our website, enjoyingthejourney.org, and also in the show notes. We thank you for listening. and we hope you will join us for each lesson from this series. And may the Lord help us as we seek to have a consistent prayer life.